Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, and once again, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, I just prayed you would speak to our hearts, that you would empty me of me and fill me with you, Lord, and there would be your words and not mine, not man's words, Lord God, and that you would minister to us through your word, Heavenly Father, that we could put the cares of the week aside, Lord, focus on you, Lord God, and be thankful and grateful that we can come to a house of worship, Lord God, to hear your word and to worship you, Lord God. So be with us as we open your word today, Lord God. Guide us through this time, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're in the book of Philemon, and this is one of the shortest books in the Bible. But just like God's word, it's packed full with life principles that God would want us to follow and obey. And I titled my message, Divine Appointments, because we're going to see as we get into this message how divine appointments can eventually lead to forgiveness for an individual, restoration, and reconciliation. We're going to be talking about Philemon and Onesimus, who was his slave, and something that happened between the two, and how Paul, through a divine appointment, intervened and turned it all around and in a way that it glorified God. Amen. So Philemon, as we get into this study, Philemon was a very wealthy individual. He was very wealthy, and he had slaves, but yet he didn't hoard that wealth. He opened his home up. He opened his home up for fellowshipping, for the breaking of bread, for the sharing of the word of God. So we see that although he was rich and wealthy, and he had slaves, he still was willing to open his home up and minister to the community that was around him. We also understand that through Paul, through the Apostle Paul, Paul had helped Philemon to come to the point of conversion, to the point of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And through that is why Philemon would open up his home, because he had the joy of the Lord in him and he wanted to share that message with those around him, those in his neighborhood. So this letter that Paul wrote was written from prison. Paul was in prison at the time, and it's believed that it was written along the same times as he wrote the letter to the church in Colossae, the Colossian church. So they're written around the same time. Philemon also, in the Greek, means affectionate, which as we get into this study, we'll see that that name fit Philemon. He was an affectionate individual. And like I said earlier, one that was willing to share his wealth with those around him. The other thing, too, that was very interesting as I was doing this study is that this is the only time Philemon is mentioned in the Bible. And like I said, there's so many different studies that we can get out of this book, even though it's a short book, it's 25 verses. But there's so many different teachings that can come out of it. And one of the ones that spoke to me, and we're not going to really go into it, but I just wanted to make mention of it, was the fact that, like I said, Philemon, this is the only time that he's mentioned in the Bible, and but yet God used him in a powerful way, because we see his book that's in the Bible. And so the way that spoke to me is that never count yourself short. Never feel that God can't use you. Never feel that you're not important enough to be used by God, because we each have a story. As believers in Christ, we each have a story of how we got to where we're at as a believer. And we need to be able and willing to share that with those around us that share that message of hope. Amen? So never count yourself short. And we can see this with Philemon. Even though it's a short book, even though it's written only, his name is mentioned only once, we still see that he's got a passage in the Bible. God saw fit to put him in the Bible to minister to us. So in verse 1, it starts off with Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. So we see that Paul begins his letter describing himself as a prisoner, and not a prisoner of Rome, because he is sitting in a Roman jail right now, but he describes himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And it's very similar for you guys that were here when I did a study out of Jude. Very similar situation. Jude introduced himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul identifies himself as a prisoner. And it's all about denying ourselves and acknowledging and acknowledge that we no longer live for ourselves, but for Christ Jesus. I use my my life verse as Colossians 2:20, which is, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So once again, Paul, we see here, realizes that he no longer lives for himself. Wherever he's at, whatever circumstances he's in, he's living his life for Christ and being obedient to what Christ is calling him to do. Amen. Once again, example for all of us, that we have to come to that point of surrender, that we no longer live for ourselves, that we're living our lives for Jesus Christ. Amen. Philemon 1:2, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Apphia is believed to be Philemon's wife, and Archippus is believed to be either his son or possibly a pastor of the home church that was meeting there in Philemon's house. And we see a little bit of that in Colossians 4:17. It says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. So Archippus had been given a ministry, and he's being told to fulfill it. And this ministry was meeting in Philemon's home and leading that study there in Philemon's home. So we also see there in that verse that Philemon, once again, like I said, opened his home for home fellowship. He had a desire to minister to those around him. And we also see and understand that this letter was not only written to Philemon when Paul wrote it, but it was written to the home church that was meeting there. It was for all the individuals that were there. So the teaching that comes out of this letter was not only for Philemon and for Onesimus, who was a runaway slave, but it was for the whole church family that met in that home. And the importance of that, of home fellowshipping. I believe Brandon mentioned it, that we are doing home fellowships and the importance of that. We've been trying to emphasize that, that as we come together on Sunday mornings in corporate worship and hearing the word, that when we walk out these doors, we don't leave it here, that we take it home with us and dig in deeper. You know, we only have a limited time here, although we probably could go a lot longer than what we do. I don't know how many of y'all would stay here, but we could go on teaching. I mean, because the word of God is infinite, amen? I mean, it's just continually teaching us things. But the importance of home fellowshipping and breaking bread together and coming together and lifting up our concerns and our needs is very important. And so we've been trying to push that or really try to emphasize it, that if you haven't been involved in home fellowship, take a step of faith, give it a shot, see if it's for you, and continue on in the word. We see in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Once again, the emphasis of coming together and lifting our request amongst our believers in prayer. Like I said, we come here and we're sitting next to each other, but then when we walk out, what happens with the situations that we're in? Are we able to share with somebody? And are we able to share our concerns and our need for prayer? Once again, the importance of having a home fellowship. And one of the things that we stress, because we do a little bit of a class for those that are leading those home fellowships, is that whatever is shared in the home fellowship stays in the home fellowship. It's nothing that's to be advertised. So that's the importance. That's what we need to do, is come together and know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to be praying for us throughout the week, not just coming and meeting out one day a week and forgetting about the situation. We need to keep that going. So like I said, if you haven't been involved in the home fellowship, take a step of faith and see how, if it works for you. In Philemon 1:3, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see in all of Paul's letters, he always opens up with grace and peace and prayer for the saints. Always. Grace before peace. Only God's grace can give us peace. Amen? Only God's grace. And I know some of us are going through some very difficult situations. And sometimes it's hard to understand, why does God allow that to do that? Why is it happening? Why is this, whatever the situation is, happening to me? It's not always easy. It's not always easy to go through those things. But we can have that peace. We can have that joy as we release it to God and let God deal with it. And understand that God is in control. Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of the situation, ultimately God is in control and he's involved somehow or another. It may not be the way we want it to be. It may not be as quickly as we want it to be resolved. But we have to trust God. We're going to see in a minute when we look at Paul's situation. He continued in prayer no matter what his surroundings were. He was continually in prayer, and not only for himself, but for those that were his disciples. Philemon 1, 4 through 6 tells us, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Once again, lifting him up in prayers. Verse 5, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, Philemon knew the love of the Lord. He came to that point of repentance, to the point where he acknowledged who Jesus Christ was in his life. He surrendered his life to the Lord. And through that joy, through that acknowledgement of who Jesus is, that's what was giving him the desire to open up his home in fellowship, to share the word of God, to influence those around him, to influence his neighbors. Being as wealthy as he was and as rich as he was, he could have hoarded everything and just kept everything to himself, as we see some people do. But no, he opened up his doors. I mean, they would have a meal and break bread and share the word of God. And it tells us in verse 6 that he was effective. He was effective in reaching out to his community. Once again, an example for us. Are we reaching out to the community that's around us? Are we trying to be as effective in sharing the gospel message with the people that are in our sphere of influence? That's something we need to keep in mind. I have this quote. It's from A.W. Tozer. And it's, quote, worship of the loving God is man's whole reason for existence. End of quote. Think about that. Worship of the loving God is man's whole reason for existence. I believe that when we come to the true realization of what Jesus Christ has done for us, when you really take the time in your quiet time, in your prayer closet, and really contemplate what it means to be a believer, to have surrendered life to Jesus Christ, what else can we do but worship him? I believe that's why it's so important when we come together and worship God, that in our heart of hearts, we're truly worshiping him and thanking him over and over and over again for what he's done. Eternity with him in heaven versus eternity in hell. I mean, you have to choose. You have to choose. But the joy that we should have for what God has done for us. We see in verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints has been refreshed by you, brother. So I looked up the word consolation because I wasn't too sure what that meant. Then this from Webster's 1828 says, consolation is comfort, alleviation of misery or distress of mind, refreshment of mind or spirits, a comparative degree of happiness in distress or misfortune, springing from any circumstance that abates the evil or supports and strengthens the mind as hope, joy, courage, and the like. Comfort and alleviation of misery. Okay, refreshment of the mind of spirits. Comparative degree of happiness in distress or misfortune. We have to understand that when Paul was writing these letters, where was he? He was in some dungeon, some prison, locked up, chained up with a guard, no facilities, nothing to eat, nothing to lay his head on. And what does he tell us? He has joy. He has joy and consolation, you love. Why? Because the hearts of the saints has been refreshed by you. Because of what Philemon was doing brought joy to Paul's heart, regardless of his circumstance. He could have easily been having a pity party. I know I would be. I know I'd be having a pity party if I was stuck in some cave, some prison, locked up, chained up, nobody to visit me, nobody to bring me food or drink or anything. But yet, Paul has joy. And how does he have that joy? The Amplified tells us, is the Amplified version is, "For I have derived great joy and comfort and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints who are your fellow Christians have been cheered and refreshed through you, my brother." Once again, great joy and comfort and encouragement from Philemon's love for reaching out to the people. That's what kept Paul going. Like I said, he's sitting in the prison cell, okay? He's sitting in the prison cell, but he's here, he's having joy just by hearing what's going on in Philemon's home, that he's still opening up his home and fellowshipping. Regardless of his circumstances, Paul was always, always lifting up others in prayer, regardless of the situation that he was in. Romans 1:8-9 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." And verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." Paul knew the importance of prayer. He knew the importance of prayer. Regardless of his situation, regardless of what was going on around, he knew that through prayer, he could get through it. Once again, an example for all of us, understanding the power of prayer. God is hearing us. Like I said earlier, it may not be as quick a response as we want. It may not be the response that we want. But we have to understand that God knows. Amen? God knows. And we have to trust him, as Paul did. Paul was very trusting of the Lord, regardless of his situation. And how was he able to have that attitude? How could Paul have that attitude, regardless of his situation? Well, we saw that in verse 1. What did he describe himself as? A prisoner of Christ Jesus. He surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. He submitted himself to Jesus, that regardless of what he was going through, regardless of where he was at, he was going to do what God was calling him to do. Amen? He was going to do what God is calling him to do. And like I said, think about where he was at. It wasn't the best of living conditions, but yet he had joy, yet he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. And so once again, it's an example for us. And like I said, I know some of us are going through tough situations at times, but we have to trust God and we have to do what is God calling us to do. What divine appointments is God setting before us? Who is he asking us to reach out to minister to take the time out of our busy schedules and put that aside and minister to people that come in our path? Philemon 1:8-9, "Therefore, though I might be very bold to Christ to command you what is fitting," verse 9, "yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Once again, we see Paul mentioning and describing himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was bringing that point that he no longer lived for himself, that he was living for Jesus Christ. And we're getting into the meat of this letter. Like I said earlier, Onesimus was a slave and he was a runaway slave. And Paul is going to be giving some instructions to Philemon in a minute here. We're going to get into it. And we have to understand that because Paul was an apostle and Philemon was his disciple, Paul was able to command Philemon to do whatever he asked him to do. He could command him. He had that authority as an apostle to do that. But he doesn't use his authority. He appeals to Philemon. Paul could easily use his position of authority, but he chose not to do that. He chose to reach Philemon's heart and put it on Philemon to willingly do what he's going to ask him to do. And we see that in verse 10 and 11. Verse 10, "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but is now profitable to you and me." So he's appealing to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. Like I said, Onesimus was a runaway slave, and now Paul has befriended him in the prison, right? And Paul has discipled him. And Paul, now he becomes a disciple of Paul. The word doesn't tell us how long they were together, how long they were in prison. But through that time that they were together, at some point there was a moment of conversion, that divine appointment. God orchestrated this divine appointment. If you think about it, Onesimus, who was Philemon's slave, did something to Philemon. That caused him to run away. And here he goes, meets up with Paul in prison in Rome. It was that divine appointment that God orchestrated. And we're going to see in a minute, as we get into the study, how that led to Onesimus being forgiven, to Onesimus being restored and reconciled back to Philemon's family. It also speaks in that script, in that passage, that Paul, Onesimus, was once unprofitable, but now profitable to not only Philemon, but to Paul as well. So Onesimus was very profitable to Paul when his time, when they were together in prison. And it's interesting also to note that Onesimus, the Greek meaning of Onesimus is profitable, which was something that he wasn't living up to. He wasn't living up to his name. It wasn't until Paul shared the gospel message of hope, and there was that conversion where Onesimus surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, and you'll see the transformation, and he becomes profitable. He becomes profitable not only to Paul, but now he's going to be profitable to Philemon. Verses 12 through 14 tells us, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. And in verse 14, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. So once again, we see that Onesimus became very helpful to Paul. I mean, Paul was looking forward to having Onesimus with him. Once again, like I said, he's sitting in a prison cell, probably locked to Roman guard. And now Onesimus comes along and is tending to his needs, something that Paul looked forward to. And so Paul wants Onesimus to stay with him, but he knows, and I'm sure Onesimus must have shared with him his story of how he was a slave to Philemon, and he was run away, and he did something bad. And so Onesimus, Paul acknowledged that Onesimus belonged to Philemon, and he would have to send Philemon back, and it would be up to Philemon if he chose to release him back to Paul, because Paul was getting so much joy from having Onesimus there attending to his needs. In verse 15, 16, it says, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, how much more to you, both in the flesh and the Lord. Wow, think about that. Think about what Paul is saying here and what he's asking Philemon to do, okay? He's asking Philemon to accept him back, not as a slave, but as a beloved brother. Think about that. What a big task that would have been for Philemon. Because technically Philemon, since he was a slave owner, according to the law at the time, he could really have Onesimus put to death for what he did. Onesimus did not fulfill his contract. He did not fulfill his commitment as a slave to Philemon. And he ran away. So Philemon could technically have him executed for what he's done. But what's Paul's doing? He's asking him to receive him back as not only as a slave, but as a family member. You see, Paul has so much confidence in Onesimus and in the transformation that occurred to him that he was asking Philemon to forgive him and to restore him back into his family. Now, like I said, for some, that might seem like that's a pretty big deal. I know when I was first going through it, I thought that's a pretty big deal for Paul to be asking Philemon to do that, to accept this guy that ripped me off of something and took off on me, and now you want me to bring him back as a family member? That's a pretty big deal. But as I was getting into the study, what came to mind, what the Lord put on my heart was, is that any different than what Jesus has done for us? Is that any different than what Jesus has done for us? Think about it. We were runaway slaves. We were running away from God. I know I was running away from, I was trying to get so far away from God that so I can live my life of sin and live it comfortably without having to think about serving God. But that's what we see here. What Jesus has done for us, because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his shed blood, because of him pursuing me, for him pursuing us, we're cleansed. His blood cleanses us. We're welcomed into heaven. We're welcomed into the presence of our Heavenly Father because of Jesus' sacrifice. Matthew 25, 21, he said, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. What a great thing to hear, isn't it? Huh? Can't we wait to hear that? Enter into the joy of your Lord. I mean, it can't happen soon enough. It can't happen soon enough. And it gets even better. If you look at verse 17 and 18 in Philemon, if you then come as a partner, receive him as you would me. In verse 18, but if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. Receive him as you would me. How do you think Philemon and the family church there would have greeted Paul upon his return? They would have rolled out the red carpet. Think about it. They would have had a big old feast. Think about it. Thinking that Paul's in prison, now he's coming back to the home church that meets in Philemon's house. And Paul is telling him, greet Onesimus as you would me. That's a big task. That's a big task. It seems like Paul was asking a lot from Philemon. Once again, Onesimus, the runaway slave, wronged his master, stole something from him, whether it was money or jewels or something of value. And what does Paul tell him? Hey, put that on my charge. I'll cover whatever he did. I'll cover whatever he did. That's how much Paul loved Onesimus. That's how much Paul was trusting that the conversion that had happened in Onesimus' life was legit, that he was willing to cover the cost, and he's asking Philemon to accept him back. Accept him back. Once again, a good example, a perfect example for us to reflect on. Is that not what Jesus is asking the Father to do for us? Is that not what Jesus is asking the Father? As Paul is doing for Onesimus, Jesus did that for us. Jesus did that for us. We can stand in the presence of God Almighty because of what Jesus has done. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can get in. And he's willing to do that. He shed his blood for us so that we can do that. So Philemon, Paul asked Philemon to receive Onesimus as a beloved brother and welcome him back as a family member. Once again, exactly what Jesus is doing for us. John 14, 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Think about that. Jesus is receiving us because of what he's done. He's receiving us, and we can stand in the presence. And not only that, but he's preparing a place for us. He's preparing our home up in heaven. How much better does it get, guys? Think about it. Think about that. Those are things that we need to reflect on. Philemon 1:19. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. So once again, Paul is just showing here, sharing that he's willing to compensate Philemon for whatever Onesimus stole. He's willing to repay Philemon for any loss. Once again, we see that correlation with what Jesus done for us. Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many remissions of sins. For the many remissions of sins. It's Jesus' blood that covers us. It's Jesus' blood that gives us the opportunity to stand in the presence of God Almighty. It's his blood. It's what he did. Jesus paid our sin debt. Jesus paid a debt that we owed. He paid for us willingly. Think about that. And I pray that in your quiet time, you can really reflect on that. And I know that spoke to me tremendously when you think about it over and over again. And some of us have been walking with the Lord for quite a while, but it's still something that we just can't take for granted. Jesus paid the sin debt. The debt that we owed, he paid for us willingly. So Paul is very confident that Philemon is going to do what he asked. In verse 20 and 21, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. So Paul is confident knowing that Philemon is going to do as he's being asked to do, to forgive Onesimus and welcome him back as a family member. And not only welcome him back as a family member, but welcome as he would Paul. Once again, I can only imagine how that would be if Paul was to return back. Like I said, it'd be the red carpet, have a big old feast. He was confident in the friendship that Philemon had with Paul and the love that Philemon had for the Lord, that he would be obedient to what God was asking him to do, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would be upon Philemon to accept Onesimus back, to be able to forgive him for what he's done and receive him back as a family member. And that's a burden that maybe some of us carry. Someone has harmed us, so maybe a close family member or a close friend has harmed us. Well, what does God ask us to do? We need to forgive. We need to forgive. My wife Sandy always uses this phrase that says, you know, it's when you have ill will against somebody, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's not going to happen. That pain or that resentment that you're holding inside, it's going to eat you. It's going to eat you alive. God wants us to forgive. Not easy to do. Believe me, I understand that. It's not easy to do, but just as we see here, Paul is asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus and receive him back. And like I said, how much more has Jesus done for us? How much more? How far away were we running when Jesus got hold of us and brought us back into the fold, brought us back and is allowing us to live in the kingdom as we surrender our lives to him? So Paul is confident that Philemon is going to do what he's asking him to do, to forgive him, to forgive Onesimus and welcome him back, to welcome him back into the family. That's the love that Philemon had for the Lord, to be obedient to Paul and to the Lord, to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Philemon 1:22, but meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Once again, we see that Paul understood the power of prayer. He's believing in his heart that through the prayers of the fellowship and through his prayer, he'll be returning back to Philemon and to that home fellowship. He understood the power, as we should. His confidence is in the prayers that were being lifted up to the Lord. Amen. We have to believe and trust that our prayers are being heard by our Lord and God. Amen. Like I said earlier, it may not be as quickly as we want it to be. It may not be in the form that we want it to be. I know in my life, I've prayed to the Lord for certain situations, and it's happened the complete opposite. Okay? It's happened, and it's frustrating at times. I'll be honest. It's frustrating. In my mind, I have how I want things to work out. But God sees differently. Amen? God sees differently, and we have to trust him. We have to believe that he's listening to my prayers, and he's going to work things out however he chooses to do that. So it's the power of prayer. It's the power of prayer. I'm going to start closing it up and call the worship team up. Like I said, it is a short book, but it's jam-packed with so many different teachings that could come out of this book, okay? And I encourage you guys to dig in deeper. See how the Lord speaks to you through the book of Philemon, understanding that it's God's word, and he saw fit to put it in the Bible. He wants to minister to us through this book, as short as it is. Philemon 1:23-25 says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. Verse 24, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. And verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So Paul is closing this letter up. And remember, this letter was written not only to Philemon, but to the whole church that met, the whole fellowship that was meeting in Philemon's home. And he's closing it out in prayer, acknowledging those people that are around him that are helping him now. And so my prayer for all of us is that we're understanding the divine appointments that God puts before us. Like I said, think about how this worked out for Onesimus, for Paul, for Philemon, and not only for them, but for the whole fellowship, how they saw how God worked out a divine appointment. Philemon, who wronged his master, ends up in prison in Rome with Paul. Paul ministers to him, converts him. He becomes a disciple of Paul and of Jesus Christ, sends him back. Philemon willingly welcomes him back. Think about that. From one divine appointment, from a situation that seemed so out of control, from a bad situation, God turned it for good. Amen? Amen. Think about that. And so as we leave this place and we have those divine appointments, as God puts people in our paths, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. I shared in this morning's message a time for me. It was early in my walk. It was real early in my walk. And I had a coworker that was dying of cancer, and they were in the hospital, and we went to go visit them, and the Lord had put on my heart to share the message, before they passed on. And when I got up into the room, couldn't do it. I don't know why. I just couldn't do it. And it's something that I carry with me even to this day. I mean, it's just like it happened yesterday. I don't know why. I just didn't do it. And unfortunately, the next day, that person passed on. And my prayer is that someone came across and shared the message. But it happens. It happens. But my encouragement for all of us is that as God puts those divine appointments in front of us, and they're there, and if you feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit to step out of your comfort zone and share that message, do it. Take a chance. What's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? Be mocked? It's not like you can get thrown in prison, although that time may be coming, okay? That time may be coming. It may seem far-fetched, but as we see things turning upside down, it may not be too soon where they end up trying to close these doors. So we have opportunities. Like I said earlier, home fellowshipping. Let's keep it going. Let's keep these teachings going and lift each other up in prayer as we meet together in people's homes. People are willing to open up their homes, you know. Take a chance. If you've never been involved in a home fellowship, take a chance. Step out in faith and see how the Lord moves in your life. Amen. So once again, my encouragement is that we look for those divine appointments. We look for those divine appointments and see how those divine appointments can lead to forgiveness, to reconciliation, to restoration, and just the impact that just speaking the word of God has on people. You may not see it. Like I said, some of our prayers we don't see. You don't know if by you sharing, it could turn someone's life completely around. Amen? So this book, even though it's short, may seem insignificant, but it is a book that God gave us to read, and it's used for us to try to impact those around us, okay? It's used to impact those around us. As I was getting ready for this message, this is a scripture that kept coming up, and the Lord just kept directing me to it, and I want to share with you. And I believe that is something that we need to bring to heart and think about. It's in Luke 24:32. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" This was the apostles that were on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion. And Jesus came alongside them. And that was their statement. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Is your heart burning? Is your heart burning? When you open the word of God, is your heart burning? Are you burning for more? Are you yearning for more of the word of God? We should be. I shared before that, you know, I heard a message once. This pastor said that people always come up to him and ask him, "I never hear God speak to me. I never hear God speak to me. How do you hear God speak to you?" And he says, "Open up your Bible and read it out loud. This is the word of God. You want to hear God speak to you? Open the word. Everything that we need that pertains to life is in the book, the Bible." Amen? Amen. So you want to hear God speak to you? Open your Bible. Once again, encouraging you to continue on this study. Dig into Philemon. It's a short book, 25 verses. But yet you'll be blessed beyond your imagination as to how God will speak to you and use you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for this time that we can share your word, that we can open your word and share in your word, Lord God, and you speak to us, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord God, for any that are here today that have never truly surrendered their life to you, Lord God, that have never truly submitted their lives to you, that they would come forward. Our prayer team is here, Lord God. We have our elders and our pastors here, Lord God, to pray for people. We have our prayer team up here, Lord God. And Lord, I just ask if there's anyone here that has never truly released themselves into your arms, Lord God, and accepted you as Lord and Savior, they would come forward and be prayed for. If there's anyone here that's walking the fence line, that's walking back and forth between you and the world, that they would surrender also, Lord God, and totally commit their lives to you, Lord God. Anyone that's carrying a burden or a situation that seems so overwhelming, Lord God, that they would come forward and be prayed for. Lord God, just speak to our hearts. Continue to minister to us as we go on with the week, Lord God. Lord, may we look for those divine appointments where we can share the message of hope with those we come in contact with, Lord. Lord, that even though we may not see the end result, that we'll know that we're being obedient and we're bringing forth your word and lives will be changed, Lord God. Lives will be transformed. So we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for this time, Lord God. And we just give it all to you in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, please come forward. Don't hesitate. Don't let the day go by if you've never made a commitment to let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. Today's the day of salvation. Amen.